Our text today is James 1, the Proverbs of the New Testament, as some people call it. It's kind of a straight shooting book, and we're going to get straight to it. I ain't got a lot of time, and I'm going to roll with you. First verse we're going to get to here. Get rid of all moral filth. Are you with me, church? Okay, let's get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. And humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Jeff, what does this have to do with Bible interpretation? How does this connect with what we've been talking about? Here's the deal. I don't care how you decide you're going to interpret a scripture of the Bible. Whatever you decide it says, or whatever God wants it to say, if you understand it, you better obey it. That's the deal. That's going to be the spirit of this message today. It's not overly complicated. We can figure out, try our best to figure out what it says, but whatever it says, we're going to have to let that word that's in us guide us, and we're going to have to let it do what it's supposed to do in our lives. You know, the scriptures here, James says, we got to get rid of the moral filth that's out there. I mean, just the dirtiness. He says, get rid of it. Some of your translations, put it away. Put it out of your life. Lay it aside. And this is like the term is kind of like taking off clothes as well, right? Take it off, get rid of it. The moral filth. Man, we know that there's a lot of moral filth in this world. There's evil that is prevalent. In some of the translations, it's excessive evil, overflow of wickedness, abundant evil, rampant evil. Do you see the picture? Evil just has a way of just continuing and going and going and going. And the moral filth that's out there in this world, it is very prevalent. But here's the deal. Who determines what is morally filthy? Who determines what is evil? At the North River Church, we say that God does. And we have that through his word, what is evil. We don't choose for ourselves. See, that's been the problem with people since God made them. That's the problem in the garden. At the end of the day, Adam and Eve decided we're going to choose for ourselves what is good or evil. We're not going to let God be the one to define it. We're going to define it for ourselves. And here we are, right? That's been the problem with people. We decide what's evil. We decide what's moral or immoral or amoral. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. The word of God tells us what is filth, morally, and evil. And we need to be humble to accept that. Or else, what's the point in talking about Bible and how to interpret the scriptures? This needs to be our posture, humility to accept God's word. We don't possess within ourselves the ability to define or even to fight off sin or evil. No, some people say, well, I don't need the Bible to tell me what to do. Okay, well, there you go, pride. Some people say, well, there's a lot of hypocrites out there not following the Bible, so that means I don't need to follow it either. Smokescreen, making excuses, pride. Hey, I'll figure it out on my own. I don't need religion as a crutch. Pride. That's not humbly accepting the word. All right, we have a choice. We can either accept that God is the one that decides what's right and wrong or not. And where's the clearest place that we can find it? We find it in the scriptures. I remember somebody opening up the Bible with me when I'm in my 20s and say, hey, Jeff, let's read this passage together. Okay, let's read it. It says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this, who continually practice stuff like this, who characterize their lives by this, who actually think that there's nothing wrong with this, those are the people that won't inherit the kingdom of God. I said, hold up, because I'm all up in a lot of these right here. Ain't nobody ever told me that they were wrong. I mean, I might have had my thoughts, but so you mean tell me God has put his foot down. Yes, God has told us what is right and wrong. So here's our choice. Either we can humbly accept it or not. So let's not get it twisted and get confused about Bible interpretation. We better have humility to accept the word as we understand it. Excuse me. It says the word is planted in you. I love that part too. Can I ask you a question? Who planted the word? Right? And we say, and I think ultimately we say, oh, God did. And I go, amen, I think that's true. But I also think there's a biblical theme that God uses people to plant the word. What, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. Who are they believing in? They're believing in God. God is the one they're believing in, but hold up. Apollos, Paul, were servants that helped people believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, Paul says, you know what? I planted the seed. We ain't talking about watermelon seed, man. What are we talking about? The word of God. Paul says, I planted this. Hey, Apollos watered it. Maybe Apollos wasn't there day one, but you know what? Apollos came along. Hey, how are you doing with this word? Are you struggling with it? Do you agree with it? You disagree? Let's talk about it. Apollos was watering it, but God was the one that made it grow. So, hey, neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. God is the most important one. It's God's word. God ultimately does the planting, but he uses us. He uses people to help plant that word. I'm nobody. I mean, Mike Eldred is nobody in curling, but they planted the word in Garrett. I just watered it. You know what I'm saying? J.I. watered it. And other people watered it. But God gets all the glory. So listen, hey, God, hey, we need to humbly accept that God is the one that defines right and wrong, moral, immoral. He's the one, not you and me, not this culture. And God's word, however we interpret it, we might disagree on some interpretations, but there's a lot in there to understand. And that's the stuff I even just read. We know what's right and wrong, even in the Galatians 5 passage. So we need to be the type of people that humbly accept the word, but honestly, we need to be the type of people that also willingly help plant those seed in other people. And I believe that's who we are at our best. But I also believe that, you know, sometimes we get a little stale and we haven't maybe done that in a while. I want to encourage us to let's regain some of that planting the word in other people. Because you know what? When a person humbly accepts the word that's planted in them, it can save them. I love that. It can save you. Doesn't mean it will. I mean, somebody can share the word with you, but it might not because you don't humbly accept it. The word has the power to change your life, transform your life. But it has the power to save you. But you know, if you don't humbly accept it, what are we gonna do? What can God do? And so James isn't done yet. Okay, well let me further explain what I'm talking about what it means to accept it. Because he said, hey, you know what? Don't just listen to the word. I don't know why it's not moving, but amen, Jesus. You can move it up there if you can. I'm pressing buttons. I'm doing all kind of stuff. I don't need to, if you got a Bible, just turn it on, James 1. It says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says, okay? The reality is, that's what he's getting at, is that there's a type of arrogance to where we don't receive the word in such a way that we are willing to do it. Merely listening to the word actually deceives us. And here's the deal. What do you mean by deceive, man? I was reading this. I always try to give you a quote. And here's the deal. If I use a book, you know what? There might be a page in this book that I don't know if I agree with either. But I like this quote. Amen? To be deceived is to be blinded to the reality of one's true religious state. People can think that they are right with God when they really are not. And so it is for those people who hear the word, regular church attendees, seminary students, even seminary professors, but do not do it. If one wants the benefits of its saving power, one must also embrace it as a guide for life. It's not just about hearing. If you merely listen, you are deceiving yourself. I can't tell you how many people I've sat across from over the years. Oh, I know the word. I know the word. But they got no desire to actually follow the word. And you think, well, okay, well, you know, but I'm telling you, there's a deception that goes on that really messes you up. And there's nothing worse than a person totally deceived into thinking that they're actually following God. Hey, the stakes are high. The stakes are high. That's why I'm grateful that in my life, there have been people to say, hey, man, this is what the word says. This is what your life is looking like. Bro, you need to match up with the word of God, bro, because that ain't good for you. Even if that might make me feel funky, I appreciate the directness. And especially if it's done with love, praise God. Because I know some people don't have much bedside manner. And they'll blow you out the water with the Bible, right? And you'll be ready to fight them, you know what I mean? But the reality is, hey, you know what? If it's God's word, are you willing to humbly accept it? Even if it comes to you in a form from somebody that might not have great nuanced way to explain it. But if you have humility in your heart, that's what's important. That's what you have control over. So don't allow yourself to be deceived. Merely listening to the scriptures and not putting it into practice is actually a recipe for disaster, because you're actually going to think that you're doing great with God, right? And then you go, well, hey, man, nobody's perfect. Jeez, Jeff, nobody's perfect. And I go, duh, I know. But that's another smokescreen statement. That's a smokescreen statement. You just throwing out excuses if that's where you want to go when James says, do the word. Well, I'm not perfect. We know that. God already knows that. What is that statement actually achieving right now? Well, you just judge him. I'm not trying to. Why are you saying I'm judging you? Read the word. The word does the judging. You know what I mean? I mean, imagine being if you're trying to follow God, this is like a marriage, man. This isn't like a casual hangout. And that's what people treat God, like a casual hangout. Well, I'm not perfect. I mean, if I'm hanging out with one of my friends and I'm like, oh man, I forgot to hang out today. I mean, he might even say, nobody's perfect. Yeah, that's cool. And we go back and forth. Hey, we're just hanging out with my friends. That's how people treat God. But the stakes are higher with God. It's like a marriage. I'm hanging out with my wife. Oh, hey, honey, how you doing? I'm doing great. How are we doing in our marriage, honey? We're doing great. I have been faithful to you like at least 200 days of this year. I mean, geesh. Yeah, you're like, what? That's crazy. But what if I think like that? Like, yeah, so now you're upset with me? Nobody's perfect. Right? You have a fundamental misunderstanding of what marriage is. So don't come up in this church talk about, well, I can listen to the word. I can just hear. I don't really have to obey it. That's just not what it says. How can we be a church of Christ and not at least uphold the truths of Scripture? We don't want you to be deceived. We're willing to risk you being upset at us for a while. To at least we can have a clear conscience and say, well, at least we tried our best to share with you what it says in the hopes that you actually follow it and do it. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they've heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. They will flourish in their lives. Another translation. That's how you flourish. And I love the real grittiness of this scripture. It's not like, yeah, it's simple, it's easy. No, it's not getting at that. Right? You're gonna have to continue in it. It's gonna be challenging. But why do you look in a mirror, guys? Why in the world look in a mirror? I know why some of y'all look in the mirror. Y'all just, glancing at how amazing you guys look, whatever. But most of us look in a mirror because we're trying to figure out, am I looking crazy? You know what I mean? Because I at least want to know if I'm looking crazy. Why else look in a mirror? Isn't that the baseline? You're trying to figure out, let me just make sure everything's cool, right? I mean, when you look in the scripture, aren't you trying to see where you are? You know what I'm saying? How am I doing? What? Man, I'm being selfish. Okay, well, let me. If you see you got stuff, your buttons are off and your hair crazy, if you see it, what are you supposed to do? Do something about it. You do something about it. That was the whole point of looking in the mirror. Why are you going to look in the Word of God and then walk away and not do nothing about it? If the Word of God show you something that you might need to work on or think about or think differently or have a different view on or repent of, why are you going to walk away and just forget? Like, I don't know. I mean, I know what it says, but I mean, I have no intent on doing it. You know what I'm saying? Or are you going to look intently with intent to actually obey it? That's how we need to look. Like when you look in the mirror before you're going out on your date, you want to look good. When you look in the Word, you want to leave the Word wanting to look like God wants you to look, which is His image. You can't look like God if you're out there in the world doing what everybody else doing. Thinking the way everybody else thinking. Watching the same news shows everybody else, parroting everything they say on there. We can't become like God doing that. If you want to flourish, you got to do what the Word says. Simple as that. And then I appreciate James. He gets real specific. He goes, I'll give you a few things that you can even think about in your life to help you as you try to figure out how to not just read the Word. Love your neighbor as yourself. Cool. And then go off and forget what that means. Let that change you. Stuff like that. Those who consider themselves religious and do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is what?
Worthless.
Now, I think if James were today, he would probably say, therefore, those who consider themselves religious and don't keep a tight rein on their tongues and the stuff they post on social media deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. I am so tired of the immaturity that is happening on the internet. It's immature. It's by people who should know better. Guys, stop, dude. I thought after the election it'll stop. It's still going on. I still hear ridiculousness. Keep a tight rein on what you post. You know, a religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. See, some of you might interpret this to say, oh, that means God only wants us to look after people that don't have parents alive or someone who's lost a spouse. And that would be a wrong interpretation, in my opinion. In the day and age when James wrote this, these were people that were very obviously on the margins of their society. All right? There were not really career opportunities for women out there, really, you know, for legitimate ones. And if you were an orphan, you had no parents, you just had no way of taking care of yourself. There were no social programs to take care of. That's where God's people came in. Well, the people that obeyed God. And not just listen to, because God had plenty to say. Seek justice, encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the fatherless, plead the case of the widow. That's in Isaiah. Why? Because God is a father to the fatherless and a defender of widows. Psalm 68. If you're going to be made into the image of God, live like God. I appreciate people like Mark Otweller, like just keeping that in front of us. Like, golly, maybe one day I'll get better at this. You know what I mean? But I appreciate James putting it out there. Keep a tight rein on what you say, your public declarations. Watch out, because if you don't do that, your religion's worthless. You know what else you need to do? Who's out there struggling? Who in our culture is struggling right now? Don't let the news influence you. Who's struggling? Who's on the outside? Let's go. Let's do something. Let's try to help those kind of folks. Even if it's not politically correct, let's help people in their distress. Who's in distress? Well, they don't deserve it. They could have gotten a job. They could have done better. They could have paid their taxes. They could have. Okay, where's that in the Bible, though? Where are all the little disclaimers? I don't see them. And you know what else we need to do? If you can't figure out how to escape the craziness. Hey, keep yourself from being polluted by this world. My gosh, this world will pollute you in a heartbeat in a second. I hope we can be the type of people that can go to the Word and actually be the type of people that humbly accept it, actually put it into practice, not praise ourselves as we do it, but be humble and let God work through us. I pray we can be people that plant the Word of God in others. I pray that we can be people that water and nurture that faith. Even if they right now might not be interested, we stay in there with them. And we nurture people's faith. The Word, we plant the Word in them, because that's what has the power to deal with the filth and the craziness in this world. And I really hope that we can be people that look intently in the Word with the intent to do it. And that we can care about people on the margins. And that we don't let this world pollute us, but we go out confidently into this world with the message of truth. It's not about how we interpret the Bible, really. It's about, are you willing to do it? And I believe we are, and I believe, as Tom Brown always says, the best is yet to come for us. I think I am done. Praise God, love Jesus, and I think there's a closing song. Amen.